Verse number 12, the Bible says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And today I want to draw your attention to one little word that we find in verse 14, and it's the word press. The word press. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Today's our final message in our series entitled One Thing, the one resolution that we all must make in a new year. And I hope that over the past 6 weeks as we've been studying Paul's philosophy of ministry, that God has helped you in your own walk with God. I hope that he's strengthened you and helped you, but I hope that he's also helped you as a member of our congregation and helped instill some things that we collectively as a body need to try to do. If you remember, we began talking back in verse number 12, where Paul says that he was apprehended, and we looked at how that meant that he was captured by Christ, and that his work in his life was to try to capture what God had for him. And we talked about that God has a plan for each of us, and that plan is very specific, and that plan is significant. Well, then we spent 2 weeks talking about the importance of forgetting. The next thing Paul says is that he forgot those things which are behind. And we talked about the importance of not living our lives focused on that which is in the rearview mirror of our life, but rather to focus on all the glorious things that God has ahead of us. And he does have some wonderful things ahead of you as an individual as well as our church. But then for the past 2 weeks, we talked about what it meant to reach. Paul tells us in verse 13 that he not only forgot those things which are behind, but that he also reached forth unto those things which are before. And we talked about that in order to reach, we must see things differently, and that our eye precedes our hand. We have to see something before we're willing to reach out for it. And then last week, we talked about some specifics about reaching and the fact that we have to crave more. We have to desire more, and we have to work, and it requires us to move and to be willing to adjust where we are and to change in order for us to be able to reach. And so today we move to our final thing. Today the final thing that we talk about, the final thing that Paul mentions is here in verse 14, where he says, after I've forgotten those things which are behind, and now that I'm reaching forth unto those things which are before, he says in verse 14, he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so today I want us to spend a little time looking in this passage of Scripture and seek to answer the questions, what is pressing? How do we press, and why should we press towards the mark so that we can better understand this one thing that Paul said that he tried to do in his ministry here on earth? So let's talk about it. Number one, let's talk first of all about the principle of pressing. Number one, let's talk about the principle of pressing. You may want to write this definition down in your notes. The word pressing comes from the Greek word dioko, and it means to pursue or to run swiftly after. So when Paul says that, he said, I press toward the mark, he says that I'm running towards, I'm swiftly seeking that which God has for me in my life. And it carries with it the idea of pushing yourself. You can imagine a person who's running a race, and they're running in their lane around a track, and they realize that maybe they're not in the lead, or maybe they are in the lead, but they sense that there's a runner who's swiftly coming up behind them, and they press themselves a little further. They push a little harder, and they even though they're tired, and even though they're winded, and even though they're worn out, and they feel like they've been giving it all they've got, they reach down deep inside and they press on just a little bit harder. That's what Paul is talking about when he says that he presses towards the mark. He's talking about that he continues on. He pursues God even when he's tired, even when he's worn out, and he feels like quitting sometimes. He pushes on. It's not enough for you and I to start this process of forgetting those things which are behind and then reaching forth into those things which are before, because if all we do is start it, we'll never accomplish very much. The forgetting is important, the reaching is important, but the pressing is equally as important. We've got to continue. We've got to press forward. We've got to finish the work that God has given us to do. And so as we think about the principle of pressing it, I want to share with you two specific other things that we see here in this verse. Number one, As I think about the principle of pressing, I see that it's a personal work. It's a personal work. In these verses that we've made our context for the last 6 weeks, in verses 12 through 14, the Apostle Paul uses the word I seven different times. Seven different times he uses the word I. And he's testifying to this church at Philippi about his own philosophy. He says, this is what I do. He said, I reach forth unto those things which are before me. I forget those things which are behind me. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. It's a work that is very personal. And what I'm trying to say to you this morning is this, is that nobody else can make you press towards the mark. Nobody else can make you forget those things which are behind. Nobody else can make you reach forth unto those things which are before. Serving God from its very foundation of trusting Jesus Christ as Savior is a personal work. Nobody gets in on the family plan. It doesn't matter whether your great-grandpa or great-grandma built some church out in the country somewhere, donated the land, built the building, bought the pews, and funded everything in it. That doesn't make any difference to God. Everybody as an individual must make a personal decision to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And it's just the same way with serving God. It's a personal work. You have to decide that you're going to forget those things which are behind. You have to decide that you're going to reach forth unto those things which are before. And you alone have to decide that you're going to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. Paul, in his service for God, didn't have to have somebody constantly begging him to show up to these churches. He didn't have to constantly have somebody begging him to say, now, Paul, look, you know you need to write these epistles. You know that's what you need to do. Now, come on, just keep doing it. I know it's hard. No, he was a self-starter. It was something that God did inside of him. It was something that he, in his own merit, decided, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to serve the Lord. It's a personal work, but I see, secondly, that it is a persistent work. Pressing is not only personal, it's something that you have to decide that you're going to do, but it is also a work of persistence. It means that you have to persist. It means that you have to press through some difficult times. And if you've served the Lord any length of time, you know what I'm talking about. Serving God is difficult. It is the work of the Lord. Sometimes we forget that. Serving God is a labor. Serving in a church is a labor. It's work. It takes time. It takes effort, and it affects you. And if you're going to press toward the mark and you're going to do what Paul did, then you're going to have to realize that it is a persistent work. There's three areas of persistence, and there could be a lot more, but you may want to write these down parenthetically in your notes. I don't have them on our PowerPoint this morning, but a few areas that you're going to have to persist through. Number one, you're going to have to persist through painful experiences. You're going to have to persist, and you're going to have to press on through some painful experiences. I'm not going to take time to do it this morning because we've talked about it at length throughout this series, but Paul's journey with the Lord was not all roses. He went through some very difficult times. Paul went through times where he was shipwrecked. Paul went through times where he was beaten. He was stoned. He was ostracized. And he had times when he was very hungry and very thirsty, and he was in prison. And Paul endured those painful experiences. And if you're going to press on and keep serving God, there's going to be some painful experiences in your journey. There's going to be some things that come up that absolutely you wonder, how am I ever going to get through this? But you must press on, because God is faithful. And just like the Apostle Paul said, Paul came to a place one time in his journey, he was so low, he said that when no man stood with me, the Lord stood with me. And there are times in your spiritual walk where you're going to feel like there's absolutely nobody who understands what you're going through, nobody that's been as low as you are, not your spouse, not your parents, not your closest friends, not your coworkers. Nobody knows what it is that you're going through, but I can promise you that the Lord has promised that he would never leave you and he would never forsake you, and you keep pressing on because God is faithful. And if he brought you into that, he will bring you through that and out of that, and he will deliver you. So we must persist through some painful experiences. But not only painful experiences, a second area that we must persist is through pessimistic encounters. We must also persist through pessimistic encounters. Paul's journey, like our journey on this earth, was not full of people just rah-rah cheering him along everywhere that he went. Paul's journey was no doubt full of people making snide remarks and comments about him, especially with his past. You think about the past that Paul had of persecuting the church and persecuting Christ, and now here he goes in and now he's trying to promote Christ instead of persecuting Christ. You know that there were all kinds of jabs and smart aleck comments made towards him, and Paul had to continue on through that. And may I say to you this morning that in our society there are people who seek only to discourage you, to mock you, and to belittle you. And there are people who will flat out rob your joy. And may I say this to you this morning in love, a lot of times there are people that we go to church with. A lot of times there are people that you work with that call themselves a Christian. A lot of times they're a friend who calls themselves a Christian, and they will flat out discourage you because they're so negative and they have such a negative outlook on life. If you're going to keep serving God, you're going to have to serve Him through painful experiences, but you're also going to have to continue serving Him through pessimistic encounters. And may I say this to you as a pastor, as you and I serve the Lord together in this place, we need to understand that we don't need fault finders, we need problem solvers. I'm going to say it again. We don't need fault finders, we need problem solvers. I have absolutely no problem whatsoever with anybody coming to say, you know, Pastor, I've noticed this is here and this isn't being done. I feel like this may be neglected. But don't stop there. Say, but this is how I think we can fix it. Well, I want to help work on that. I want to help this problem. Look, every one of us has faults. Your pastor probably has more than anybody else here. We've all got faults. We've all got problems. And as we grow together as a church, as more and more families come into our church, as more and more people come into our church, we're going to have more things that arise. But don't be a person that sits back and makes it your job and your sole responsibility to figure out every shortcoming and every lacking that is going on in this place and then to point it out to me or to point it out to some of the other leadership in our church. Make it your job to say, you know what, I see we're lacking in that area, but you know what, I think I could help in that area, and I'm going to pick up and I'm going to help. I'm going to labor. I'm going to serve. I'm going to give my time. I'm going to give my effort because I believe in the work that's going on. Don't be a pessimistic person. I myself have tried to make it my ministry philosophy. I don't try to surround myself with negative people. The devil discourages me enough. And I don't want to be around other people that discourage me. That don't mean I don't love people that discourage me and some people that are negative, and I've served alongside of them in previous ministries. But I don't want to stay around people that constantly tear me down, because I believe God's given us a work to do here, and I'm looking for people who will say, amen, I don't know how it's going to work out, but we're going to pray and we're going to trust God and we're going to get in it together and we're going to labor together and we'll work on it and we'll work it out. That's the spirit that we need to have. But you're going to have to persist through some pessimistic encounters. The third thing you're going to have to persist through is through some pleasurable enticements. You're going to have to persist through some pleasurable enticements. If the devil can't derail you with painful experiences and pessimistic encounters, he'll try to lure you away with pleasurable enticements. Now, here's the simplest way I know how to illustrate that. Ice cream is sweeter than a vegetable. But ice cream cannot give you the nutrition that you need to grow and to be strong and healthy. And so that's what some people in our society want to do. That's what some people want in a church. Some people in a church, they want everything to be upbeat from the time they walk in, just an adrenaline, emotional rush of excitement, and then they walk out. But here's the problem. You can't grow spiritually without some meat and potatoes, amen. I'm a living testimony of that. Where's my savvies at? I need amen from my savvy survivors. They were grilling me. Pray for the poor preacher. They were grilling me because I don't like salad in our Savvy Survivors meeting on Thursday. And I said, does it look like it has stunted my growth 1 ounce? I'm not weak and frail this morning because I eat a lot of meat and potatoes. And as a church, we need a lot of meat and potatoes if we're going to grow spiritually strong. And we can't allow the enticements of the world to lure us away and to keep us from serving God. We've got to push on through that. And that doesn't mean we can't enjoy life. That doesn't mean that you can't go out and there's things we can enjoy. I'm not saying that at all. Don't misunderstand me. But what I'm saying is the devil will try to lure us away. And once he's got his hooks in us, if we're not careful, he'll not just lure us away, but he'll drag us off and away completely from serving the Lord. So that's the principle of pressing. It's a personal work and it's a work of persistence. Notice the second thing very quickly this morning. Secondly, I want you to see the perspective of pressing. The perspective of pressing. Notice what Paul says here in verse 14 of Philippians 3. He says, I press toward what? The mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The word that's used there for mark comes from the Greek word skopos, and it means a distant mark looked at. See, Paul doesn't just say that I press. He doesn't just say that I continue on through these difficult times and through negative encounters and through pleasurable enticements and through painful experiences. He said, I don't just press through that, but he said, let me tell you how. He says, I press toward a mark. He says, I press toward, focused on a mark. You see, that's what that means. That mark, that word carries with it the idea of one specific thing. And Paul says, I press toward the mark. And he said, I press toward. He said, I don't press backwards. He's always looking forward. You see, wherever you're looking is where you're going to go. If you're looking forward, you're going to go forward. If you're looking back, you're going to go back. So Paul says, I look toward a mark out in front of me. The simplest way to illustrate this is those of you, if you've ever planted a garden or if you've ever went out to plow a brand new field, and you've got your tiller there or whatever you're plowing with. Maybe you've got your tractor. And the worst thing in the world is a crooked row. Is it not? Have you ever went somewhere and the first thing you saw in a garden, it could be the most beautiful garden ever, have ears of corn as yellow as the sun beaming off of there. But you look down that row and you think, wah, I believe you got a little off while you're plowing your row. Well, you want me to tell you what you do? When you first go to start in the field, and you farmers know this better than I do, you pick a point, a fixed point in the distance. And when you drop that plow on the ground, you keep your eyes not on the row that you're plowing, you keep your eyes fixed and you keep that tractor, you keep that tiller pointed directly towards that mark until you get to the end of where you're plowing. And then once you've got that started, now you can go off the other rows, but you've got to have a fixed mark. That's what Paul's saying here. Paul's saying, I lived my life, and he said, I pressed toward a mark, a fixed point of reference. You say, who's the mark? The mark is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the mark. That's who he kept his eyes on. That's what he told the church at Rome. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the mark. You say, well, but pastor, is that a fixed mark? Yes, it's a fixed mark. Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you and I as individuals and you and I as a church, we fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will always be plowing ahead in the right direction because he never moves. He never changes. What is true yesterday will be true today, and it'll be true tomorrow and forever and ever. Jesus Christ is the mark, and that's what Paul is saying. He said, I press. He said, I labor and I push through those difficult experiences and those difficult times with my eyes fixed solely on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my mark. But then he mentions a third and final thing, and the third and final thing I want us to see today is the prize of pressing. The prize of pressing. Paul says, I press through all these difficult times, and I do that by fixing my eyes on the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he tells us why. He tells us why that he presses. He says here in verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize. Well, what's the prize? What motivates Paul to press through and to stretch himself to the maximum ability? And what makes Paul, what drives him when he's mistreated, when he goes in prison, when he was stoned, when he goes through all these different things? What keeps him on track? It's the prize. And the prize is the Lord Jesus Christ. The prize is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The prize is not heaven. The prize is Christ. The prize is not crowns and rewards, because all the crowns and rewards we have will just be cashed back at his feet. We're not going to be walking around in heaven like Boy Scouts and look at me, I got more badges than you got. No, every reward that we have will be cashed back at his feet, because it's only because of him that we were able to do anything. So the prize is not, it's not even having a home in heaven. It's not crowns and rewards. The prize of pressing is Jesus Christ himself. Now let's look at a little deeper into this verse at what Paul says specifically. Verse 14, he says, I press toward the mark. We know the mark is Jesus Christ. For the prize is Jesus Christ. But let's break down this next expression, because he gives us a little more insight into what exactly we mean about the prize of Jesus Christ. He says, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now that expression, high calling, the word high that's used there simply means upward or heavenly. And the word calling means an invitation or a calling to. So he says here in verse 14, he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of this heavenly invitation, this heavenly calling to of God in Christ Jesus. The prize that he's talking about is the opportunity that he has been given to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and to serve with and alongside the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. I hope that God by his Spirit will make this clear to you. What Paul is literally saying is this: the reward that I have, the prize that I have, the thing that motivates me to keep pressing on is that I get to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I get to talk to the Lord Jesus Christ. I get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I get to spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ in his word as he speaks to me and as I grow and learn more about him. And that time that I have with him is the prize. Let me illustrate it to you this way. My grandfather had his 89th birthday yesterday. And my grandfather growing up was one of my heroes, him and my dad. I loved him. The sun rose and set with him as a little boy. And my grandfather, he had a boat and he loved to go fishing. And he loved to go down to Lake Baden and Lake High Rock, and we would go down there and fish, and it was something that he loved to do. But there was a problem. Little Scotty was still in school while Papa was going fishing. And on occasion, Papa would take care of that problem that little Scotty had, because he'd just pull little Scotty out of school. Now, don't tell anybody, but that happened. And I can think back now as an adult, and I can't remember the fish we caught. I can't remember the baits we used. I can't remember the specific honey holes that we went to. But you know what I remember? I remember being with him. And that was what was special. The times that he and I, just he and I together, spent together, me talking to him and him sharing wisdom about life and just cutting up and playing little tricks and all kinds of stuff that papas do with their grandsons and their granddaughters. That's the prize. It's not about the fish. It's not about the deer you kill. It's not about the birds you shoot. It's not about whatever else that you win. That's a byproduct. What is really precious and what you'll take with you is the memory of spending time with that person. And that's what Paul is saying about Jesus Christ. He says, what motivates me to keep pressing on is because I get to spend time with my Lord and Savior. I get to spend that fellowship and that time. And no doubt, even as Paul is writing to this church, he's thinking back about times when he was going through a difficult situation in his life. And he would sit and just talk to the Lord, and he would pour out his heart to the Lord, to the Savior. And he looked back at the times when God delivered him. He looked back at the times when he preached and people came and trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior. He got to experience the fellowship of serving alongside of Jesus. And folks, that's what has to motivate us as a church. We can't be motivated by attendance. We can't be motivated by anything else other than the fact that as God's people, we can come in here and we can meet and we can sing about Jesus. That as God's people, we can come in and we can sit in a Sunday school class and learn more about Jesus. That as God's people, we can come in here in a worship service and we can grow and we can worship and we can learn more about Jesus. And that we can go out the side of the walls of these church and we can be at work and we can be witnessing and we can serve alongside Jesus, sharing with other people about our Savior. That's the reward. That's what should motivate us. The person of Jesus Christ and knowing Him. He is the prize that Paul was motivated by. So as we think about putting a bow on the end of this series, Paul said, I do one thing. He said, in my ministry, he said, I do one thing. He said, I try to forget all that junk that's behind. He said, I just lay it down. He said, I forget about it. It's not worth putting my mind. I'm not going to live my life looking in the rearview mirror. Maybe you still, even though we've talked about it, maybe you still struggle with that today. It's time to leave all that junk behind. You can't change it. There's nothing you can do about it. And it's not going to do anything but weight you down. He says, I forget those things which are behind. He says, but I reach forward for those things which are before. Maybe it's time that you looked out and saw that there's some glorious things that God has for your life. There's some glorious things that God has for this church. And God's been dealing with you about it. And God's been working in your heart about it. And it's time for you to get out of the comfort zone and reach out and do more and draw closer to Him. But maybe you've already been serving Him. Maybe you sit on more committees than you know the name of. We got a few people like that. And that's not good because when I go, I don't know what committee meeting I'm going to. I'm in meetings all the time. Maybe you're a part of this and maybe you're a part of that. Maybe you do this and you just think to yourself, man, this servant, God's about to kill me. Man, it's just hard for me and I'm kind of losing my passion for it. Maybe you're here this morning and this message is for you. Because God by His Spirit's come by and said, look, you just keep pressing on. You just keep showing up. And may we never make ministry all about the dotting the I's and crossing the T's and lose sight of what it's really about. It's really about knowing Jesus. It's about growing in Jesus. It's about the opportunity to walk alongside of the Lord Jesus Christ as He does His work in this world. Beloved, may as individuals, may we be ever active in doing this one thing. As a church, may we be active in doing this one thing. And understand this about this one thing that Paul does. This one thing, it's reciprocal. What I mean by that is it's not like you forget those things which are behind one time and then you're done. And then you reach forth for those things which are before one time and then you're done. And then you press on towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God one time and then you're done. No, it's not reciprocal. It's not a one-time thing. It's reciprocal, simply meaning this. I can forget the things which are behind me today, but there's other things that are going to come up in my life that I'm going to have to forget. So I have to be continually forgetting those things which are behind. I have to be continually looking forward and reaching forward for the things which are before. And I have to be continually pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You understand? It's something that we have to continue to do. That's why Paul said, this one thing I do. It's not I did it one time. He said, it's this one thing that I do continually. May God help us to be a people who forget all that junk behind, who look out at all that God has for us in front of us. And when we get weary and tired in the way, and you will get weary and tired in the way, you remember that it's not all about the X's and O's and the dot and the I's and the crossing of the T's. It's about getting a walk with Him. If we take Jesus out of the work of God, all we've got is empty, hollow religion. And religion will put you in bondage. We're not about trying to further religion. We're about trying to further our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand the difference? May God help us. Let's bow our heads in prayer.